Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and joining me once again today is my good friend, my faithful companion, a one, Brian E. Roach. Brian, what's going on?
I'm happy to be back after you kicked me to the curb for a week.
I just said you were my faithful companion, like you were like a dog or like an old yeller or so. Ooh, that's a good nickname for you, man. Old yeller. Like,
yes, because I am the old man who yells at the clouds.
That's right. If for folks who don't know, like, we constantly joke about this with Brian, and you know, I always make age jokes about you. You know, it's all in good fun. I don't see anything with it. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where Brian's a little bit older than me, and then all of a sudden he's like the old man. Well, he's like the Mr. Wilson, for those of you who remember Dennis the Menace, either the comic strip or, you know, the very old black and white TV show. You know, he's the one that's like, get Dennis, you know, yelling and everything, and get off my lawn and everything. In fact, you probably closely relate to Clint Eastwood's character in Gran Torino, I imagine.
Yes, get off my lawn.
Well, you know, we were debating this offline, and it's just, I think it's gotten to a point where we have to address this again and maybe not be a broken record a little bit on some things, but we have to talk about the quarterbacks. And I think more or less this is for the Steelers, this has come to a head. Because of recent things. One, Art Rooney just had what the Steelers Nation call, and maybe another interview with Bob Labriola or something like that within, since we did the show about Ben maybe a month or a month and a half ago. And he said basically that he's comfortable, right? He's content, or was it content or comfortable? It was one of those words with the quarterback situation with the Steelers, and are not looking to pursue anyone outside, like a veteran quarterback or anything like that. And this got like a lot of people, like, I don't know, up in arms or whatever. You get your fantasy armchair, Madden playing, whatever person that's sitting there thinking the Steelers can sign anybody. You know what I mean? There's this news that like Tom Brady's going to be a free agent, and pretty much everybody just wants to come in and be Ben's backup. Even Taysom Hill, right? Taysom Hill, yeah, is going to be a free agent. Okay, so for folks who aren't familiar, maybe if you don't watch all of the NFL, like every game or multiple games every weekend, Taysom Hill is a kind of like a Cordell Stewart, right? He's he's a college quarterback that's been playing like wide receiver, utility gadget, wide receiver, tight end, wherever they line him up in the backfield, wildcat. He's a utility gadget player. And he, you know, what, he's attempted like 13 passes in his NFL career, and he thinks he should be a NFL quarterback. And if the New Orleans Saints aren't going to give him his way, he's going to enter free agency and probably go into obscurity after he gets signed by a team like the Jets or something. So, yeah. I mean, we talk about how there's not 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, but then we talk about, you know, there's not like all these other guys that are laying around that are going to take like the extra. I don't know. I would say there's what, eight. There's a certain finite number of elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Even say there's four or five, and then you go to like maybe 10 to 12 with guys that are very above average, just below that tier. Maybe they make some mistakes. Maybe that's where I put a healthy Ben Roethlisberger, right? Maybe that's where I put, and we'll talk about him in a moment too, like Philip Rivers, or, and then you get into another tier that's like your Eli Mannings and Andy Daltons and stuff that are capable starters, maybe not the greatest quarterbacks in the world. They win you games, but they're not absolutely like trash that's going to be discarded and, you know, thrown to the curb. And eventually you get down what, into like the 20s or so. So you have what, maybe 8 or 10 spots that are maybe, I don't know, up for grabs or like a revolving door. I guess it depends on the team or the franchise, and everyone's so fortunate to have you know, one of these starters, one of these guys that just aren't maybe going to get benched right away. And, you know, you look around some of the teams in the NFL, and I look up and down rosters. I look at various franchises, you know, well, the Patriots may be up in the air, but let me see. I'm just going to go through them real quick. Let's see if we could count them. We'll just assume Brady's back, all right, because that's what I think will happen anyways. So right. That team, no. Bills, they're set. Jets, for now, they're riding Darnold. Dolphins, okay, up in the air. There's one. More than, they're not going to ride Fitzpatrick. I mean, he's got a few years probably in the NFL, but nobody's ever tried to make him a starter, and we see what's happened when he has been, and he ends up, you know, flaming out wherever he is and going to another home, and they change coaches and stuff, whatever. Texans are set. Titans should be set if they keep Tannehill. Supposedly, it looks like that's their guy. Okay, the Colts. We'll say the Colts need a guy. We'll see the Jaguars still need a guy, so that's three. Let's see, rest of the AFC here. Ravens, Steelers, Browns, they all have their guy. Bengals might need a guy, so that's four. You know, they had Andy Dalton, but, you know, they got the first pick overall. We're assuming Joe Burrow goes there, right?
Yeah.
Kansas City's got their guy. Broncos might have their guy. They have several guys there, so I'm going to say they're not maybe seeking a quarterback. They're to be determined with Drew Lock. Raiders, who knows what Gruden's going to do, but they have a guy. Chargers no longer have their guy, so five. Eagles have their guy. Cowboys should have their guy. Giants just got a guy. Redskins just got a guy. Saints sort of have a guy with Drew Brees. You know, that's up in the air, but we'll say they do. Falcons definitely have Matt Ryan. Buccaneers, we'll see what happens with Jameis Winston. That could be a possible six, and the same with the Panthers, maybe a possible seven. Cam Newton, injury history, some talk about whether he gets released or whatever, but even as we're going through this pool, and I'd say I'm up to seven, several of these guys of this seven are just going to float to one of these other teams and become their guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, so even then, Packers got their guy. Vikings, I believe, have their guy. Bears, who knows? They just invested a draft pick in their guy, so we'll see. Lions have their guy. 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, Cardinals, all set. So seven or eight. That was pretty good off the top of my head. What is that? Like a quarter of the league, right? That might be in turmoil.
Yeah.
That might be in turmoil. Various reasons, organizational changes, general managers, coaches, other, you know, offensive line sucks, or they don't have like skill players and things of that nature. So the reason I'm like wrapping my arms around this is that, Philip, let's bring up Philip Rivers, Brian.
Before you get to Philip Rivers,
go ahead.
I just got to make a comment about one of the teams that you said should have their guy. Should have their guy. That would be those Dallas Cowboys. Should have their guy. But what if Dak wants $40 million a year? Are they going to invest that money after what they just spent on Zeke?
Jerry will. Jerry's insane.
Well, the reports being that. You know, they had a deal nearly done, and then he asked for more money, and they went, and it didn't happen. I don't know that they will. I'm not saying I think it's – I'd say it's 99% likely a deal gets done there. But you never know, because as you just said, Jerry's crazy.
Well, even if they have their guy – okay, so let's – the worst case scenario.
And what has he won? Let's remember that. What has he won to determine that he needs $40 million a year?
You know, when they have, and we both know, being Ohio State fans, when Zeke's on the field, that team's completely different. And when he's not, they're not. And they put a lot of money into that offensive line. They had, you know, a very good offensive line. It kind of went into turmoil. What, Travis Frederick, I believe the center's name. I always screw him up. I like know their last names and like first initial because I see so many stats and I never see the guy's first name. So if I butcher the first name, I think I get a pass at least. But regardless, Dak will go somewhere. So it's still like that number eight flexible. That number could actually be as like four or five and maybe even three at times.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
And there's always the next shiny toy that's going to come out with the NFL draft and stuff. But I want to mention Philip Rivers in particular because he's a guy who came out in the draft at the same time. And I think a lot of people are already on the reason we're bringing all of these things up is not only what Rooney had said, Mr. Rooney, but you know, Ben's been hurt. Ben makes a lot of money. Everybody's looking at the Steelers have no salary cap room. How can we make some money? Well, Ben better restructure or get rid of this guy. And it's like, well, you know, you still take, what was it, 16, 17 million half cap, dead cap space. You get like half of his money back. So it's like almost double. I think it's in the 30 million range of whatever he's valued at this year. I could look it up. I might just for the sake of, you know, accuracy here. But, you know, it's immediately Phillip Rivers is available. We saw the quarterback problems that the Steelers had last season, which I don't know was entirely attributed just to the quarterbacks, but it's a big part of it. And I think there's more outside extenuating circumstances, you know, these other factors that played into that as well as to, you know, their success and or failure, that being Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges. And you know what, I'm gonna table that for a second, because that's, you know, that part of it is why people are all of a sudden sign Teddy Bridgewater, sign Phillip Rivers. And number one, the Steelers got no money. And yeah. Even if they got the money, the way they would have to get the money is, you know, hold on a second. I got Ben's thing here. Ben is a cap number of 33.5, and the dead money, according to Over the Cap, I'm looking at the 2020. This is tough because there's two, like, authorities on contracts, and Over the Cap is supposed to be the more reputable of the two, and then there's SpotTrack. And I got trouble with this with a Le'Veon Bell tweet that I very specifically worded for a certain way. And here's another guy that people think, oh, well, he could just come back. Well, I mean, the Jets are going to eat, I think, $17 million in dead cap if they released him this offseason. They're just not going to pay $17 million to a guy that's not going to be on their roster. Next year is more than likely, because most of his signing bonus will have been absorbed for 2020, and then 2021, it's more palatable to let him go for, like, you know, $4 or $5 million or whatever they end up eating if he's not a fit. But at the same point, his effective roster between the two websites, his effective cap number is like 13.5 to like 15 point something. And his base salary is like $8 million or $8.5 million, and that fluctuates between $8 to $9 million over the next three seasons. So if the Steelers end up getting, if it were a trade, which I don't know what they could feasibly trade, they you know, the cupboards are bare. They only have, let me see, draft pick wise, they have five picks. They don't have a first round pick. They have five picks currently, and a potential sixth is going to be this compensatory pick, hopefully, for losing Bell, the entire reason they're supposed to be getting it. And even if, you know, some of these bonuses and whatnot are absorbed, you know, as part of, you know, we saw this with Mike Wallace in Miami, and he got traded to the Vikings for like a fifth round pick. And Miami had to eat, you know, a lot of these guarantees, signing bonuses, and things like that. But there's roster bonuses or whatever. But just the basic yearly cash salary for a Le'Veon Bell is like $8 or $8.5 million, which the Steelers don't have. Okay. Nope. And they don't have anything to trade. So it's like you can't make these magic moves. Well, going back to quarterbacks, and that's the reason why I wanted to bring up Bell, because it gives you a nice baseline of what the Steelers don't have. There are some people that are saying they have, you know, 1.5 mil in team cap space. This is what Over the Cap says right now. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, they're spending too much money on this or that. They need more offense, or they need to spend the money on the defense. Well, right now it's like at $100 million, 100.8 or whatever offense, and $98 million for defense. They're pretty even Steven, within $2-3 million there. This is including some contracts, of course, for guys that are on the effective 90-man roster, futures contracts and stuff. So $500,000 here or there, you get a couple of those that you load up, and that's $1 million, a couple mil there that makes the difference. But they pretty much are at a 50-50 split there. I understand the huge number that Ben Roethlisberger is carrying, and I believe he's deserving of it. He just passed for over 5,000 yards when he was healthy last. There's no reason to believe he can't do it again. Although, Brian, man, I know I'm all over the place. I know I want to let you talk a little bit. I'm going to bring this up real quick. Let me see. I believe I screen capped this morning. I'm going to protect the guilty as to who posted this on social media. They say they met a guy in the gym today who has some personal knowledge of Ben's elbow. Says it's pretty bad. it's arthritic. I hope he's wrong. Now I'm worried. I mean, no kidding, it's bad. The guy isn't even throwing tennis balls or potatoes or whatever he's supposed to be throwing yet.
Sources say. I have complete faith in any source that starts with "met a guy in the gym."
Yes. Well, everyone's roasting the guy who posted it about that part of it, but even if he's right, He's not ready to come back yet. He's not even like in a full rehab he has a rehab program coming up, and he's probably done some stuff, probably, you know, stretches, maybe body weight or lightweight exercises or anything, but he's not throwing anything yet. You know, and I'm just guessing just based on my own personal, you know, experience with various rehab and physical therapy. In fact, I'm going through some right now on my foot. So, you know, this is the type of stuff. Like, you know, right now I'm just stretching because, you know, I totally killed my ankle about almost a month ago. And I'm stretching right now. It's just stretching. It's very light stuff. I'm not to a point, I still have a brace. I'm not to a point where, you know, I'm walking a little bit, kind of gingerly, getting a little more comfortable, but I'm not running yet. So if I were a sprinter, what's my prognosis? I'm probably still a couple, you know, maybe 2 months out, at least 6 weeks out. You know what I mean? That's what they had, 6 to 8 week program for me. This is what Ben's on track for. This injury already was, what, a year, the prognosis? So if you hear something where he's not healthy, and please don't get me started on the he's fat and out of shape or whatever. Go take a look at some of the game photos, not the ones where he's wearing the big, heavy winter coat and staying bundled up with his, you know, UConn Cornelius beard, you know, in the winter. Go take a look at when they played, like, in the desert in Arizona in a dome, and the guy is still pretty lean. And think about it. He's 37 or 38. You know, some of us have carried, you know, some extra pounds over the years, and take a look at him as a premier athlete who's been on the shelf, probably can't work out to the fullest of what he's used to doing, and he's still, you know, I don't get where some of these narratives come from, but the number one being with Ben Roethlisberger, if you end up thinking we're going to move on from Ben, which you have no reason to believe why you should, why if this has been a lingering problem, why he shouldn't come back stronger if he gets fixed up, $25 million, this is what over the cap has as his dead money. His cap savings would be $8.5 million. You know what kind of quarterback you're getting for $8.5 million? You're getting Ryan Fitzpatrick, maybe Brian Hoyer, somebody like that, or you're rolling with Mason Rudolph, and maybe you could find the money, use some of that to re-sign Bud Dupree or make some wild fantasy, I don't know, whatever trade to get Le'Veon Bell back. It's absolutely preposterous. You sure as hell aren't going to go out and get Teddy Bridgewater or Philip Rivers for that money, or Tom Brady or anybody else.
Absolutely not. Of course not. That that idea is ludicrous. You know, you unraveled quite a bit there.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's got me. It's got me so riled up because the Bell thing we're going to talk about more when we get to running backs and wide receivers with a very similar sort of, you know, conversation. This one isn't. This one is more or less like everybody wants to sign a free agent quarterback in case Ben isn't good to go, or draft somebody with the limited draft capital that the Steelers have.
Right.
And I saw a, you know what, Brian, I got to pause one more time, buddy. I screen capped it. Where's it at? Where's it at? I'm going to find this. This guy, this is a guy we kind of poked some fun at last year with his mock drafts, and he wants to trade some veterans that could give them some value and some more draft picks. So luckily he wasn't so off his rocker as to get a first round pick for Marquise Pouncey, Alejandro Villanueva, Vance McDonald, and James Conner. But, you know, we could cut all those guys and re-sign Sean Davis for some reason, Bud Dupree and Mike Hilton and Javon Hargraves, which would not give us enough savings to sign all of those guys. Plus, you're going to need a center. You're going to need a left tackle. You're going to need a tight end. You're going to need a running back. Well, he kind of solves this by drafting two tight ends. Somehow Thaddeus Moss, he believes, will be a third rounder. They're going to draft two quarterbacks as well. I'm not even going to get into all of this. And also two more wide receivers, running back, and then a lonely outside linebacker. No offensive lineman, though. So apparently, you know, the restricted free agents being Matt Filer and Zach Banner and then B.J. Finney. I don't know who's going to play tackle. I don't know who's going to be the center. I guess, you know, maybe they bring back Patrick Morris or J.C. Hassenauer. I don't remember which, or if both are on future reserves contract. But I guess or the big ragu is going to slide over and play center. I have no idea. It's just, and then, you know, that's now that you have a patchwork offensive line, that just bodes very well for Ben's health or whoever else is under center.
Yeah. You know, look, everybody gets interested in what they perceive as playmakers, and to to everyone's endless shame, they forget about the offensive line. Shame on you. Shame on all of you who forget about the offensive line. But, you know, that's the core of the offense. And until that is solid and addressed, it doesn't matter what kind of playmakers you have because they're not going to be able to make any plays. So the idea that, okay, we can trade Pouncey, we can trade DeCastro, we can trade all our veteran people and get draft picks and then pick no offensive linemen. Oh, my God. but, you know, they forget. B.J. Finney's an unrestricted free agent. B.J. Finney, it's unlikely the Steelers will be able to re-sign B.J. Finney. Whether Ramon Foster stays or not is up in the air. They have a lot of very hard decisions to make during this offseason. And, you know, that is just the facts and the nature of the game. When you have a defense the way that they have, when you have players that they've been, you know, able to keep in-house for long periods of time, like Cam Hayward, like Stephon Tuitt, you know, guys that they've had to pay as they grow, guys that are going to need to get paid, like T.J. Watt, like Bud Dupree, if they can manage to keep him, you know, like Minka in a couple years. You know, they run up against it with the cap, and that's what happens when you have a franchise quarterback, a guy who's going to go into the Hall of Fame, and you know you need to keep all those pieces together. It's tough. You depend on rookie contracts to help ease that and contributions at those positions. So first of all, the idea that they're going to be able to go out and sign a veteran quarterback is ludicrous. It's just ludicrous. They don't have the capital to do so, and even if they did, Art Rooney basically put that to bed and said, we're happy with who we have. So can we stop with that conversation? It's not going to happen. And I say that barring any other revelation that occurs down the road. You know, if Mason Rudolph and Devlin Hodges and Paxton Lynch are all in a tandem biking accident and can't play, well, yeah, they're going to have to sign a quarterback.
Well,
but they're not going to be able to do it as it stands, right? Now that's so can we please put that narrative to bed? It's silly. The second narrative that they're going to draft a quarterback. Is even more ludicrous than the first narrative. They don't have a first round pick. Who are they going to draft? They have other needs that are more pressing and better ways to spend that draft capital than to use either the second or third round pick for a guy who may not be able to make the roster because you're already set. you know, again, this should be put to bed by the simple fact that Art Rooney said, we're not looking at quarterbacks. You know, we are content or you know, happy with who we have. Look, I am not the biggest Mason Rudolph fan. I do not think Mason Rudolph is a future franchise quarterback. I don't think he's the guy to replace Ben. But I do think he's a nice backup quarterback, and the experience he got last season will help him to become a nice veteran backup quarterback. I don't know what Devlin Hodges' future is. I see too many limitations in what he was, but
we will get into that part. I wanted to ask you though, because you know the report was Landry Jones, and there was someone wasn't there someone else too that just surfaced? I don't think it was Cardell.
Cardell played in one of those games. I saw him.
No, he did, but we're talking about the XFL, of course, and. Yeah. Oh, geez, that's a whole other layer. Let me get back to the XFL in a second. The reason it popped into my brain was, you know, I'm a big Landry Jones supporter, but I never once said that he was, you know, Ben's successor and a franchise quarterback. But would you have preferred, at this point in time, you got Landry Jones, who had been doing construction work, and apparently they inquired about, and since he had been, since he was basically the centerpiece signing, the first signing of the XFL, He's under contract, and they just aren't letting everybody out of that contract for their league. They're in it for the season. And then after that, Oliver Luck, the commissioner of that league, basically said, then they're free to pursue. We understand that guys want to play in the NFL, and that's why they're here, et cetera, getting reps, getting everything else. And, you know, I watched some of the games, and it was pretty decent football. I've watched college football. It's been worse. I've watched NFL games that have been worse in some circumstances too. But, man, the quarterback play there – You know, I didn't mean to jump into the XFL right away. Let me come back to XFL, too, for one second. I wanted to ask because Landry didn't end up playing. And I watched the other guy play, and he was not good. And he was an AAF guy, too. I think he was actually with Birmingham Iron maybe. Philip Nelson, or was he with the Memphis Express? Or one of those teams. And those teams last year in the Alliance American Football were they were revolving door quarterbacks, too. Would you rather preferred having Landry Jones or Mason Rudolph as the backup quarterback? Now, I'm not just saying like in retrospect of last year. I'm saying 2020 and heading into the future.
I would tell you that my honest opinion is I would have probably preferred to have Landry Jones and Mason Rudolph on that team last season.
Oh, yeah.
But going forward, I would say, you know, no, that the whole point was that Mason Rudolph was going to become Landry Jones, right? He was going to be the groomed backup that they drafted, you know, in the mid rounds, a guy who could win him a couple games if needed and was going to be competent and was going to know the offense. I think he can be that guy now. But so now, okay, I'm okay with whatever configuration occurs. Do they, you know, I don't know. Landry was Landry, you know, I get it. You know, he's your guy and I get it and I understand it, but you know, he was going to do the same things he always did.
Well, yeah, that's the thing too. You know, he came in, I was just thinking about this the other day and actually somebody else brought it up, believe it or not. And they were talking about how he came in for Vic and won that Cardinals game. He came in for Ben and ended up, you know, keeping the ship afloat and winning against the Raiders, nearly beat the Patriots at home.
Should have.
Oh, they should. Yeah. You know, don't get me started. The refs stink. God, yeah. You know, and Jesse caught it, which is a completely different game, but the same, you know, scenario. Another thing, wasn't the one with Landry, was that Ladarius Green like phantom pass interference call maybe?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think so,
man. Or no, it was a phantom hold. There was a phantom holding call. It took a TD off the board right before halftime. They were either been tied or up, I believe, if I'm remembering this correctly. There was like a Marcus Gilbert holding call that never happened, and it was just, you know, the usual crap, which is what I like about the XFL. If you watch any of the games, they're back to the sky judge. Referees are mic'd. You could hear their conversation right on the field, which is kind of scary because being a referee myself, now you have to clean up some of your language and not say some stupid stuff or you're going to be out of a job. But, you know, at the same time, you get like it's great hearing them. They communicate and you realize how human this is. They're talking about it and they're like, well, it could be one of these two penalties. Well, we got to charge them with one of it. Well, OK, which number was it? You know, where was the ball spotted? What was the time on the clock? And I think that's pretty cool. I think that's what you need in the NFL just to get over the idea that it's at times could be fixed. And some of that transparency will get rid of that stigma of maybe the refs stink. Even if you don't agree with it, at least it's there and you hear their reasoning. You know what I mean? You don't have any reasoning. You have guys on TV and former referees who got out because the cameras are everywhere now and they're very critical. They got out of that profession like Dean Blandino. They tell you one thing, and then they come back on TV and say something completely different in the opposite direction. But I digress. Let's go back to some of these bullet points, because we got a lot of great stuff here to talk about, and we've been jumping all over. Number one, let's hammer this out real quick, the free agents. Philip Rivers, not a chance in hell. Drew Brees, chance in hell.
No.
Teddy Bridgewater, they can't afford him. And I would assume that the Saints are going to try and keep him under lock and key. They're definitely not going to keep Taysom Hill for their future, apparently. Let's see. Tom Brady. Nah.
No.
No. Not going to happen.
Vomit, by the way. Vomit, puke, vomit. No.
Hey, how about Jameis Winston?
I know. Next. The answer is no, but makes me vomit less than the idea of Tom Brady.
Dak Prescott.
No.
Nah. Not going to happen anyways. No. Dak Prescott wants $40 million.
Yeah.
You know, he wants more than what we shouldn't be paying Ben what he's been paying. What's he ever done to really earn that? Blah, blah, blah. Let's give this guy $7 million more than what Ben's making. Ryan Tannehill, you know what? I don't know if he's a Cinderella story, but the Titans would be crazy to let him leave the building. Case Keenum might be available, Brian. There's a guy. You're going to sign him, either be a backup. So here's another situation. Do you want to pay a Case Keenum and get rid of a Duck Hodges or Mason Rudolph, or we haven't even gotten into Paxton Lynch and JT Barrett that are on the roster, even though on the lower end of that, we're going to talk about that toward the end of this show too. But Case Keenum, I mean, even make a fine backup. Whether they don't have the money to have that luxury, and they've been developing young quarterbacks, two of them now last year that got playing time and got experience. Why would you bring this guy in and wreck all that and wreck their development? This is the entire reason we talked about this, that Matt Canada's there now. They did not have a quarterback coach last year, and I think that's one thing that changes as we'll talk about, you know, Mason and Duck and Paxton and everybody else, Lions and Tigers and Bears, oh my. But this is the whole reason. You don't want these veteran quarterbacks. You know, that's the reason why Art Rooney's saying this. And they're also fairly confident. Everybody's like, oh, well, Ben's very injury-prone. Well, okay, he missed the whole season through no fault of his own. He's been dinged here or there, but the tough guy comes back and plays hurt too. You know what I mean? He's not just sitting there saying, well, I got a toenail that's bleeding. You know what I mean? He's not a baseball player. He's not a baseball player. So I'm going to throw some shade. You know, I made a comment about pitchers and catchers reporting. And yeah, if you're a Pirates fan, you know, there isn't much to usually look forward to with that. My cousin would be mad at that. He's a huge, huge Buccos fan. But anyways, so that gets rid of the free agents. Let's talk about rookies in the draft. And you brought up a good point. You said something about rookie contracts. And I've heard somebody say that the Steelers, you know, the reason they're in this cap situation is because they mismanage and overspend on a bunch of old and washed up players. And I'm just like looking to them, I'm like, that gets the owl look where I tilt my head and I'm looking at it like, wait, what in the heck are you saying? Like, I don't understand. Who's the old guy? Okay, Ben's 37, right? I had four guys, I think, over the age of 30, and there's four more that just hit 30. So I'm bringing this up. Ramon Foster, who could be on the chopping block. Tyson Alualu. Did he just have a birthday? I swear I just looked at this and he was 31. Now it says 32. Oh, I'm going to have to look this up. Anyway, if so, happy birthday, Tyson. Alejandro Villanueva at 31. And then that's your guys. This isn't exactly the old slow Steelers defense that Warren Sapp talked about, the, you know, the beginning of last decade in the, you know, 2011, where you had several guys that were like 34, 35, 36, you know, Brett Keisels and James Harrison's playing until they're 37, 38 years old. You get Cam Hayward that's 30, David DeCastro that's 30. These are guys on both sides of the lines that are, you know, capable of playing probably in through their mid-30s. Joe Hayden's 30. I get it. He's under just a two-year contract. He's got another year on it, and we'll see how that goes. Marquise Pouncey, I don't think he's necessarily giving it up, but everybody's talking about offensive line. Oh, you know, a lot of the problems with offensive line was having to block more guys than you had hats to put on hats. When you put eight guys in the box to shut down and force the quarterbacks to make plays and they can't, that's what happens. I'm not necessarily going to knock the offensive line. You know, they didn't give up all that many sacks either, and I know they gave up more than usual, but that's also guys holding on to the ball too long in the case of Mason and or Duck. So, you know, they kind of did it to themselves. And then you got Vince Williams and you got Mark Barron. Okay. And then there's nobody else. Everybody else is under the age of 30. And I'm just kind of like, I'm scratching my head at this. And when you look at the highest paid players, you know, these are all homegrown guys. Ben, Tuitt, DeCastro, Hayward, Pouncey. Okay. Hayden and Nelson aren't. But then everybody says, hey, they can't draft cornerbacks. So you got to pay these guys, right? In order to bring in somebody that could shut stuff down. And Nelson is just, you know, I know we've been on his jock, and rightfully so. He's not getting his recognition. I think it's coming. Big Al, here's a guy that everybody said you can't let leave the building. You know what I mean? You go down this roster, and like the 10th highest paid player is Devin Bush, a first round draft pick. Hello, and then like 12th or somewhere in the whereabouts, and this has to deal with, you know, average salary, et cetera, et cetera. But the point being, Minkah Fitzpatrick is somewhere in this mix. Terrell Edmonds is somewhere in this mix. The first round draft picks have a certain kind of pay scale to where it falls, that they're making like a, you know, some type of chunk that's comparable to other guys that are around the league. It's not as high and you're getting a little bit of savings, but let's not pretend like these guys aren't making money. You go and cut somebody else and you have a little bit of pocket change now. Oh, I return this item to Walmart. I have a little bit of extra money in my wallet, but I still don't have enough to get the nicer item. And okay, well, I'm just going to pick this off the shelf or whatever. I mean, you get guys like, you know, I understand here's the top quarterback salaries, and everybody's making a big ho-hum over Ben being like second to Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Jimmy G, Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco, which I don't know the situation there, but I would tend to think if they could save money, that's going to go by the wayside. Nick Foles, this is what you got to pay to have Joe Flacco as your quarterback, 23.6 as his cap value. Nick Foles is 21.8, almost $22 million. That's more than Aaron Rodgers is has a cap charge for this year, but Aaron Rodgers has a large contract too. Jacoby Brissett at 21.5, as is Derek Carr. Alex Smith still on the docket there, even though, you know, he had that tragic, you know, really bad injury to his leg. Matt Stafford, 21.3. Cam Newton, 21.1. Carson Wentz, 18.6. Andy Dalton, 17.7. Drew Brees had a lower number, 15.9. Probably some prorated things and some cap magic going on there. Then you get into, like, Baker Mayfield almost at $9 million. Sam Darnold at 8.2. Ryan Fitzpatrick, as we said, $8 million. You know, if you're taking a guy, Kyler Murray's almost at 8. It's just crazy. Tyrod Taylor is at 7.5 with the Chargers. what are you going to do? These contracts, this is what you have to pay a quarterback, okay? You got to pay what Ben's making or earning right now in order to have a guy of Ben's caliber. Otherwise, you're just going right back to, you know, do you remember the way it was with Michael Vick or Byron Leftwich? Or Charlie Batch. I'm sorry, people. Go look at the Charlie Batch games where he actually was a starter. I'm not talking about coming in at halftime for Ben or playing a fourth quarter after the game's in hand. He's very mixed, 50-50, kind of in the middle of the road guy, just like a Landry Jones was, or just like, you know, Byron Leftwich coming off of the bench. Michael Vick, I don't think he had a grasp of the offense. I think Todd Haley's offense was not only complicated, but Michael Vick was also in the twilight of his career, and, you know, he was signed because they didn't trust Landry Jones, and then you see what you got there. The offense struggled just as bad as it did last year when they had Michael Vick in there. These are the things that you're looking at when you're looking at a free agent quarterback. If you're looking at rookies, and we pulled this up, Steelers don't have a first round draft pick, and in order to get into the first round, where we've already seen a mock draft, CBS Sports, Ryan Wilson put one out this morning with five quarterbacks going in the first round, which, you know, I could get more involved in the draft thing, Brian, but I don't know. It doesn't feel to me like this is the same draft class that had, Mayfield, Darnold, you know, both of the Joshes and Lamar Jackson. It just, I don't feel it, but
it's still early in the process. And when it's early in the process, everybody gets a boner over quarterbacks.
This is true. And they haven't even had any workouts or anything yet. Everyone thinks Joe Burrow's going number one. Here's the projections that this Ryan Wilson had. Tua Tagovailoa going to Miami. There's a lot of medical questions and things with him too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, you know, is Miami taking the risk there? Justin Herbert, you know, over to the Chargers. What else did we see? We saw one that was crazy in here. I'm trying to find it. Jordan Love to Tampa. Maybe if they don't keep Jameis Winston around, or if they do on a short term, who knows? And then there was Jacob Eason, first round pick of the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm kind of like, the logic here is that Kirk Cousins has 1 year left on his current deal. And it's like Kirk Cousins just had like a good season and they made the playoffs. So you're going to move into the unknown with the fifth quarterback taken in the draft using your first round pick. This is kind of like when they put Mason into the first round conversation too.
Yeah.
So, you know, where are the Steelers going to, the Steelers don't fall into any of that. And then, as I just said, I just named all the guys that have been drafted in the first round the last few years, and they're all making like $8 or $9 million. So, okay, you move on from Ben, you get that money. You either got to roll with Mason Rudolph or Duck, or else that money goes to another quarterback. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick or a guy that's never taken a snap in the NFL and may not be any good.
Yeah, look, there's going to come a time when Ben is in fact gone, and the Steelers are going to have, if not one, maybe multiple down years. It's just the way it's going to go. I think they remain competitive because of the level of their defense. I think they remain competitive because this is a consistent organization. But they are probably going to have a very tough time until they find the next quarterback. Maybe Mason Rudolph is the stopgap. Maybe he is this generation's Kent Graham or Mark Malone or any of the other nameless faces that took us between Terry Bradshaw and someone who I won't talk about. And then from that guy to Cordell, and then from that guy to Tommy Gunn, none of whom were franchise quarterbacks, by the way, till we finally got a franchise quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. You know, it just the very nature of the beast tells you there are not going to be franchise quarterbacks in every draft. They simply don't exist. They're guys that could project to be one, but you never know until you get them there. You know, it just is the way that things pan out. And sure, they could find a diamond in the rough down the road that turns into a guy. But, you know, it's just going to be a tough road to hoe. And they're not going to do it this year in this draft in the second round. Again, there is a very limited amount of quarterback draft capital, in my view, in this draft. You know, you get past Joe Burrow and Tua, and that's only if Tua is healthy and passes all of his physicals. And I don't know that there's a guy that you really, truly, honestly think is a franchise-level guy or even
come on.
An ongoing starter. I just don't.
Jake Fromm and Jalen Hurts.
Away.
Everyone's been drafted. These guys are going to be
away.
Great. Jalen Hurts is going to be Lamar Jackson for the Steelers.
Pre-draft. I'm telling you, everybody's got a pre-draft quarterback boner. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, I know. And then I've even seen that one mock that I said I was protecting the guilty on, where he took two quarterbacks, Cole McDonald from Hawaii, who currently on the CBS Sports NFL draft prospect rankings, which, of course, you know, we joke about this. Draft Twitter's never wrong. And I look at these, you know, I look at these rankings, you know, I take them with a grain of salt every now and then. But this guy's 228 right now. We're going to be, depending on how many comp picks there are, that's pretty much almost Mr. Irrelevant territory, seventh round.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't even know why you would take, I forgot who he took, Herbert or Love or somebody like that. It wasn't Hurts in this case, but he took them with the second round pick, Brian, and then bounced back around and took the guy from Hawaii. And the Steelers have five quarterbacks on the roster right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
I mean, let's just, you know, let's cut the crap there. You know, the draft isn't, you know, if you draft a guy, it's the same situation I just talked about. We're bringing in like a Case Keenum. You're taking the reps and development away from a Mason Rudolph or Duck Hodges or whatever. Now, that would be the same thing with everyone else. You want to talk about the boners out there, the XFL. PJ Walker goes out and has a great game for, let me see, who was he with? The Houston Roughnecks. They beat up somebody. Maybe I forget if it was L.A. or I watched all the games, and I don't know the teams well enough in my head right now to put it all together. But they beat the crap out of somebody that I don't think they had their starter. If it was L.A., they didn't have Josh Johnson, who's a 33-year-old guy who's been to 13 different NFL teams, and he was also the top pick in the AAF quarterback draft that they did last year for that fledgling league that lasted eight seasons. Landry Jones didn't play. I already mentioned he had another guy that was in there. But people see P.J. Walker kind of lighted up against the XFL competition. Cardale Jones, who, you know, he was a little shaky. He looked strong at points and didn't. Matt McGlone, same thing. I think, you know, that product will get better as they play more. You know, they've only been together for so long. We talk about September football, you know, being pretty weak with the NFL and extension of the preseason. That's kind of where we're at with the XFL at this point, as they try and find, you know, this guy is one of our starters. Maybe this guy isn't. We got to try something else, whatever. But between all of these guys, I mean, Aaron Murray had a bad game. He threw a couple of picks. These are guys that are tossed around in the NFL or whatnot. And just because, you know, if somebody like PJ Walker goes and lights it up in week one of the XFL, doesn't mean he's not going to bomb out the next 3 weeks in a row. Or maybe he'll ball out the next 3 weeks in a row. And you got to remember, this is the XFL. These are the guys that you see in the preseason. When Mason Rudolph has a great game or Duck Hodges has a great game in the preseason, then you get to where the big boys are playing. The regular season, and it doesn't translate the same, because it's a whole different level of talent. You know what I mean? You got to take it in tiers. there could always be an exception to the rule, but I always think it is an exception to the rule, and it's nothing against any of these guys. I'm glad to see them, you know, get some chances to play, live their dream, get paid to be professional football players, et cetera, et cetera. If you excel at this certain level, great. It reminds me of Doug Flutie going to Canada or something of that nature. You mentioned the Tommy Gunn, Tommy Maddox. He was the XFL MVP for the original XFL back in 01 or whatever. And then he was the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. But you look at his statistics in that, and he was kind of shaky. He wanted a contract, and the Steelers went and drafted Big Ben, and the rest is history. So, and they had spots to draft Big Ben because they had gone through Mike Tomczak. They had gone through Jim Miller. They had gone through Kent Graham. They had tried to bring Cordell from wide receiver back to quarterback, then to the bench, back to starter. And, you know, I might be missing someone else in that equation. You mentioned Mark Malone, but that was way back when. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Terry Hanratty, if you want to go way back. You know what I mean? It's like... Bubby.
Johnny Blood McNally.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go that far back. It's probably way too far anyways. But, you know, Bubby Brister and the Dark Ages and whatnot. You know, you're not going to get a guy from the XFL. And, you know, I don't know that I want a guy at all. And this goes to the, you know, Mr. Rooney saying, you know, hey, everything, I like the way this looks, basically. And I have to agree with him. You take a look at the guys that are on the roster right now. You have a future Hall of Famer in Ben Roethlisberger that may come back with a stronger arm than ever. We mentioned before, if he has a noodle, then okay, so the Steelers are going to suck, or you're going to get more time for the guys that are the younger guys that you're going to need to develop, like Mason Rudolph or Duck Hodges, provided those are the two guys. We'll just say that for now, since they were the guys on the, you know, on the roster to end the season. I understand Paxton Lynch was too. We'll talk about him in a moment as well. As a former first-round pick, he has some pedigree there. And, you know, the professor in the back rooms brought up some good points, and we'll bring those up too, but I wanted to bring up a couple of the things that are different here. You know, you're going to go into training camp. You got to get Ben back up to speed, but there's some things that are different, and there's some things that were maybe detrimental to the development and progress of a Mason Rudolph and a Duck Hodges. The least of all being a bunch of guys were hurt. You didn't have Marquise Pouncey all the time, suspended, whatnot. You know, Ramon Foster missed some games. Offensive line struggled there, number one. Number two, they didn't have James Conner a lot for, you know, what? What did Conner play, 10 games, or was that Juju that played 10? They both missed significant time, and they were Pro Bowl guys. I know the Pro Bowl is yuck, tongue-in-cheek, but they were still selected there based on their performances in the 2018 season. So when you don't have those top-flight guys and you're throwing to Deion Kane or Kareth, do I got it right? Kareth White?
Kareth White.
You're handing the ball off to him in the backfield. Or a rookie even in Benny Snell who could take the leap in year two. It's a complete drop-off, and it's a drop-off from what you're expecting the year before when Ben is throwing to Antonio Brown and you know, when they had Le'Veon Bell and all the killer bees there on the field. So you go into camp, and Mason Rudolph is what? He's not the backup quarterback last year going into camp. He's competing for those reps in that spot with Josh Dobbs, another guy who was drafted and being developed and who was ahead of him on the draft depth chart. So Mason was the three for all of his rookie year. So he had to compete and get this spot. He wins this spot. Duck Hodges doesn't even make the roster. You know, a lot of people, like you said, you know, you get your camp phenoms. You get your jollies, you know, seeing somebody that, hey, this guy, he looks pretty sharp. But he's playing against, like, you know, fourth string guys in the preseason that aren't going to be on a roster. And then he also, you know, he misses some significant time as well. They released him. I think he misses, it's about 2 weeks here, because they released him at the end of August. They trade Josh Dobbs on September 9th. And then they sign him to Devlin Hodges to the practice squad on the 10th. And then you go another 6 days and they promote Duck Hodges, from the practice squad to the active roster when Ben Roethlisberger is put on IR. And there were some questions I had about that too, because this was the thing I was talking about with the professor, was why don't they just make the jump and go get Paxton Lynch immediately? Well, you're into a situation where Mason is now the starter. Who's your backup?
Yeah.
You know, and you'd just gotten rid of the guy that was your QB3 literally 7 days earlier in a trade. So Dobbs is out of there. Who can we bring in real quick that knows the system and can play? Landry Jones is under contract with the XFL. You can't bring him in. So even them looking at Landry was the same way they looked at Vic when Landry was that QB3 or QB2. They looked at it as Mason is inexperienced. We'd rather have somebody in here who has some reps. It was, you know, trial by fire. There were a lot of other things. With Mason, I think, you know, it's a development thing. I also think when we were there and we saw him get laid out, I think he was a different guy after that, and it took some time to get back to it. I really thought he had his stride. Mm-hmm. I really think they beat Baltimore if he doesn't come out of the game. Not to say the Duck didn't do all right coming in there, you know, cold. And there were other circumstances where they could have won that game, but I think maybe a few of those drives end up differently maybe, and they end up pulling out that game. That's just my personal opinion. And maybe Rudolph continues, you know, to – I don't want to say like an upward chart, like the arrows just pointed straight – like a diagonal, but maybe it's in steps. You know what I mean? There's going to be learning curve. He's still a second-year guy who really was what? In his third start? Because he came in middle of week two. So the other problem here is, so you get camp, you're competing with Dobbs. Hodges isn't really meant, he's meant to be a camp arm. So him going and being a starter is like really unfair to him. And he also had that hiccup where, you know, he wasn't receiving snaps as a practice squad guy really. And he also brought in guys, he comes into Baltimore, they brought in another guy for the practice squad. What was this guy? I'm trying to find his name now. No, not Tony Brooks, James. Oh, geez. Who was it? They brought in a quarterback. I wanted to say.
They brought in somebody to be Lamar Jackson.
They brought in somebody to be Lamar Jackson. I can't find his name right now. So he was doing all the scout team stuff. So, you know, Hodges is sitting there with his hands in his back pockets, basically. That's, oh, here it is. Can I pronounce his name? They got a weird font on this Steelers site. Taron Christian? I can't read this because the I's and the L's and everything looks the same. Taron Christian. So he had played in the CFL, and they were just trying to model or pattern what Lamar Jackson was doing as a scout team. So, you know, these are the things. The reason I'm bringing this up, and the other extenuating circumstances here too, is Randy Fickner was pulling double duty as the OC and the QB coach, and that's because, well, Did you really need a QB coach with Ben Roethlisberger? I'm sure that's what they were thinking. They were thinking he could do both things. And I think they found out that they need somebody in that position, and they went out and hired Matt Canada to be a quarterback coach and to help develop these guys. It was complete disarray. Aside from the fact that they lost Daryl Drake and Ray Sherman had to go from, you know, just being a guy visiting at camp to an interim wide receivers coach, I think that was a change of pace too when it came to the receivers that are catching the balls from these quarterbacks, and then you don't have a quarterback coach on top of it. It's just, you know, it's kind of, and then you lose your quarterback. It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you bring up the point I want to address that you brought up is the difference between Landry post getting knocked out and after, you know, getting knocked out,
Mason.
Yeah, Mason. Well, Landry Mason, same guy.
almost body and spirit.
Almost. Yep. You know, you're absolutely right. Look, Mason had a lot of confidence. Mason was looking, like he could continue his growth. And I don't think you can overstate that injury, that knockout, whether he recovered from it quickly or not, from the standpoint of was he able to shake it off and could he have played the next week, you know, when they were in LA? That's not the point. The point is it rocks you at a confidence level to a certain extent. And he was not comfortable for sure the first game back, and it didn't look good until really about the Jets game. And then what happens? He gets hurt again. You know?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's – that's why I say I think that Mason can be a competent, solid backup for Ben Roethlisberger. And when needed to be called upon, hopefully not at all, but when needed, can provide a spark, can provide the ability to come in and find a way to eke out a game or maybe win a game in the event Ben misses one. And I think that's all that they need him to be. Yeah, I think they maybe had some kind of thought that he could be and grow into another guy. I just don't see it. And you never want to say never, but to me, that's just probably not. I think he tops out as a competent career backup guy, who occasionally gets to start. But it's so important to remember that it took him time to recover from that injury, not just physically but mentally.
Yes.
To get back into game form, to get back and sharp and feel focused. And you're right, having a whole training camp where he walks in as the backup, because I don't believe he's competing with Duck Hodges or Paxton Lynch or, you know, JT Barrett to be the backup to Ben. He's the backup. And to walk into training camp as that guy, knowing he's that guy, getting those reps, I think it's a better situation. And we, again, could see some stability and growth there. It's why I think they should feel comfortable with where they're at, based on, yes, there's a little bit of optimistic hope in being comfortable with where you're at, in the sense that you're hoping Ben comes back and is strong and is the guy he was when he threw for 5,000 yards, as opposed to, as you said, noodle arm Peyton Manning, who still won a Super Bowl, but nonetheless.
Because of a great defense.
Yes, absolutely. I hope that Ben comes back and is good to go. And if he doesn't, okay, guess what? You're not going to win right now. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry.
Everybody still, like I said, everyone was ready to crown Mike Tomlin Coach of the Year, and I know that they stalled out at the end of the year. I think teams just realized, hey, we could just pressure these quarterbacks and force them to try and beat us. And they realized that, Duck wasn't going to go in the middle of the field, and, Mason was maybe not all there. I want to talk about another thing with that too. In season, what do we talk about? We talked about this when the schedule was released last year, Thursday night against Cleveland, which ended up with the Myles Garrett situation. But didn't we peg that as a loss right out the gate? You got to go they had to play the Rams in an afternoon game on Sunday, and then turn around and go up to Cleveland, play at Cleveland. And we said that even with Ben, road teams, Thursday night games do not favor the road teams usually.
Yep.
And, that's just something else to consider. And then I know Mason struggled when they went to the road, on the road again to Cincinnati the following week. And they, Duck makes one big play with James Washington, and, the rest is history, and they eke out a victory there. So, it's one of those things. But then, Duck struggled. And then Mason came in and looked, sharp too, to save the day. And then he's out. So I think this offseason will be rather telling. Now, as far as what do you already have in the cupboards? We've kind of already mentioned, what Mason could be. I still think Mason, I still think maybe his floor could be an Andy Dalton who isn't afraid of contact and just throws the ball to ghosts or sees ghosts and throws it, to one of his teammates sitting on the bench, like a special teams guy or something, or somebody that isn't dressed. But, I don't know where Duck Hodges really stands. And part of my, our back and forth with all of us, and, I got to include the professor because this is, a lot of what he had to say. I'm like, hey, they invested time in Duck Hodges, but their hand was kind of forced. This is a guy that has some experience playing, but does that mean it's good experience? And, I kind of had to pull back from that. He was kind of right on that. And also in the same way of saying, hey, they signed Paxton Lynch. They have him there. If all these guys survive, they don't bring in a rookie or something like Duck Hodges was last year and say, hey, he has more upside. We already know what the other guy gives us. Cut him. You know what I mean? But if Paxton comes, he's got the big body frame. He's a guy that they obviously looked at in the draft process. They had scouted him. And, I'd kind of forgotten the reason Paxton didn't really he was in Seattle for the preseason, and he got a concussion, and he just missed time, and he really wasn't there to compete. So he was, he was waived during the final roster cuts. He wasn't healthy. He may have not been healthy to even pick up or work out or anything. Maybe Duck Hodges was just the easier sign just because he was in camp and had experience with the playbook and everything else like that. But now at least Lynch has been there. He's had the playbook in his hands. He has a taste for the organization. Presumably after getting called up from the practice squad, maybe he gets some extra reps and stuff in practice. There's not a lot to go around if you're not the starter, by the way. You just don't give snaps to anybody else just for the sake of giving snaps. So he doesn't get to work with a lot of these guys. More than likely, he would have been a fish out of water if he had to jump in there at the end of the season. I think it would have, you know, been wouldn't have favored him too well. You know what I mean? Let's just put it that way. And I wonder if he'll look any better this preseason. But that's what we might get to see. We may actually be talking about a quarterback three, the third guy, the clipboard guy, battle. During camp and in this offseason, and that's actually kind of a good thing. You should kind of want that if you're one of the folks that's like, sign an XFL guy, sign Case Keenum, or draft a Jalen Hurts. This is kind of what you might want to see because this is, you know, Paxton Lynch is a guy who was taken in the first round and was thought to be starter material. And for whatever reason, you know, the Broncos are kind of, I don't want to call them a hot mess, but they've had their own organizational problems as of late with, you know, changes as far as like a head coach and everything else like that. And John Elway's kind of ruthless at that position. He let Brock Osweiler go. Then they brought him back and all this other stuff. They went after Joe Flacco. They're trying, you know, this is the guy that got rid of Tim Tebow for Peyton Manning and, you know, got a little bit of a run out of that. So, you know, you don't really know. Sometimes it's the situation that this player is in. And that's why a lot of people are like, oh, well, the XFL is really great. Well, this could be just as good for somebody like Paxton Lynch to be with an organization like the Steelers that has some structure and really see maybe what he has. I'm not going to call him the second coming, but maybe somebody missed on him and maybe he could at least be, you know, a halfway decent quarterback, whether it's a backup or not.
Maybe. You know, like I said, I'm not willing to write anybody off. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm just going to stick with what I've said. The guy who is the replacement for Ben isn't there yet. And may not be there for a couple years still. I think that they've guys who they can get by with as backups. Maybe Paxton becomes one of those guys. I know the story with Devlin Hodges is great. I love the kid. I love his moxie. I love a lot about him. I have serious concerns about his abilities and the fact that the offense really just refused to go in certain places. And you have to believe that a big part of that was limitations on him. Because every time they tried to make those plays, it didn't always turn out so good. you know, so, you know, yeah, look, the hope for next season is that Ben is healthy. If Ben is healthy, the offensive line gets better, the running backs get better, the receivers get better, just because you have a better quarterback playing football. People don't want to believe that's true, but it is true. And we'll see where we go from there. And yes, I think the draft needs to focus on the offensive side of the ball. I don't think it needs to focus where our mock drafter did, but but I do think it needs to focus on the offensive side of the ball. I think it probably will, unless a unbelievable value slides to them at some point, probably in the second round. And I don't see that happening. So. I think we're fine where we are. I concur with Art Rooney. We should be content to settle with the quarterbacks we currently have because we really don't have any other options anyway.
Well, and whether Ben is, you know, good to go, you know, or not. Let's say this upcoming season's a complete flub. You know, does that mean he's necessarily right out the door right away? I don't know that it does. As you said, maybe this guy isn't on the roster just yet, right? So if his successor isn't there, well, Ben may be playing up until Mason Rudolph has a contract that goes up anyways, and they're going to have to look for another guy. So I don't get too bent out of shape over this. I understand this is a process, and I'm thinking more long-term than short-term. Right now, the window of expectation is they're probably going to be all in on trying to get Ben for a final run here in the next 2-3 years. That's my expectation, because then everybody else that I said that was pretty much 30-ish, or, you know, heading into there, these are guys that are going to be much older and probably on the backside of their career, if not starting to retire. So you're going to be looking at a different, an entirely different franchise when you get to that point.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. You know, the professor and I have talked about this as well, and it's just to the point where they need to start restocking things because they don't, other than, you know, if you really want to say tight end is a position of need because you just are going to hate on Vance McDonald, okay. But other than that, this team doesn't have a desperate position of need. They have the ability to start looking at best player available and start stockpiling guys because, as you said, this, you know, they're not an old team, but they're an aging team at some key positions. And they're going to need to start to replenish those positions. An offensive line is one of those positions that they're going to have to look at. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, we got a couple years. We got a couple years where I think this team can contend, especially with the way this defense has grown and continues to play. And we'll see where we go from there. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully Ben comes back and is strong and we have a more successful season next year than we did this year.
Yeah, we'll be looking at that in the coming episodes, of course, and we are definitely up against it, and I think this is a way different perspective than, you know, we had a couple things recycled, but I know we didn't talk about Phillip Rivers before, so that's a little different. Yeah, I mean, come on. You're going to replace Ben with a guy that's the same age or older and looking at the same short window. And not really going to work that way. So, Brian, thanks once again for joining me today. And we'll reconvene again later this week and find some more things to chit-chat about.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, my friend. And may the joys of spring approach you soon. I don't know. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I really don't know what you're talking about either. So, but you know what? What's new? Anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
My name's Joe. His name is Brian. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, and also yell at the clouds or at YouTube. That also helps as well. Folks, we encourage you, as always, out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.